What's up, boys? I hope you are having an incredible day. Just a reminder that we drop every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can listen to our podcast ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
And Joe goes, "That guy, he's funny." And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "No, but he's really funny." And I go, "I don't hang out with him because he's got big muscles." I do. I mean, I'm a little gay, but I mean, you get over that after a while.
Hey, no pause.
You've taken him in a little bit and felt him up a little bit. You get over that.
Yeah.
Now you need, it's not just sex. Now you need like good substance. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
What you're picking
now
up.
You weighing what now? 30.
I'm 230. 15 below your scouting department.
Yeah.
I'm 6'2.
You see, yeah, I know.
On a good day.
Now you're good 6'2. You're yeah. Not 6'2.
Do you walk around saying 6'2 like in the locker room and stuff? People are ready to, hey, throw your shoes off, get up against the wall. You're not 6'2 type of thing. That's the culture there.
Well, that's right. That's football.
Yeah. Well, but walking around, I'm 6'2.
But anybody who played in the NFL, how long did you play?
Going on 9.
9 years you played.
Yeah.
And you're still playing.
8 years. I'm going on 9.
So you're in the NFL right now.
Yes. I'm about to be a free agent. So the fact that you're saying best athlete, continue to massage the linebacker position because I'm about to enter free agency.
I'm just saying that anybody who played in the NFL for 9 years, you have to understand, nobody in this fucking room is, you're not in the area code. That's a crazy athlete.
I appreciate that.
So when did you know you were special? We're going to turn this into an interview. I got to get shit out of the way before we get into acting. I don't give a fuck about acting. Yeah. I wore makeup and I made believe. I could do characters. I'm done with that. Now, when did you know you were special? Because I learned very early on that I was a regular guy. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
I was a high school wrestler. And
you wrestled in high school?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll double leg you right now. My brother, he went to Nebraska on scholarship for wrestling. He's a wrestler.
We
get a good little gene pool. But I didn't know I was going to be a linebacker. I always thought I was going to be the next Walter Payton, but you know.
Oh, you wanted to be a running back.
At first, yeah. I was like, you know, dumbing the little white kids on the youth football field.
You're fast, but you ain't that fast.
Right. No question. No doubt. I mean, I would say early on, I felt like I could play. Now, I grew up in a small town, so at first it was like, yo, I can play college football. And then when you're playing college football, you're like, oh, I can play in the NFL.
That's crazy.
Had to go the undrafted route, just a kick to the ego. But
you went undrafted.
But the story's better.
9 years in, you're playing still.
Yeah.
9 years, you make it every year because you gotta make it every year.
There's no question.
And you might get that.
I love his fascination. I'm like, hey, I know.
I love the honing of a diamond. I love true competition. I love authenticity. I don't give a fuck who your agent is. I don't care what kind of hype. I don't care how you talk. You either can play or you don't.
Right.
And the coach and the staff goes, he's just not, he's a nose hair shy. And I'll take your playbook now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Good luck though.
Right. You need anything, you need a reference. Well, let me know how I can help you.
Is how many people they go from Pop Warner all the way to college. Their whole life is football and they don't make it in the pros.
Yeah. It's gotta be tough. It's crazy because I was actually in premarital counseling today doing a nice little therapy session. And we actually took a whole turn into my childhood about, you know, you work for everything for basically 23 years. You identify with being a pro football player. Like it's your dream. You want to do it. It's all you've ever thought about year in and year out.
Yeah.
And the average career is like 2.8 years.
Yes.
You get to it. And now that I'm 31, you're on the back end of your career. So talking about the transitioning and, you know, I'm with my fiance. So we're kind of talking about what life is going to look like on the other side. So you're facing some stuff.
You're doing something that's good. You got this podcast that people speak highly of. So you're doing something right.
Yes.
It's a big deal, dude.
And
I'm in this bus, which I'm very much liking. And we're not going to say where it is, but I had to go under the crust of the earth to get here.
Yeah. Yes.
And you must be somewhat of a sinner to even come.
Yeah, everyone says shit like that.
I mean, I'm like.
But, bro, that's why it's huge that you're on the bus. Yeah. Because Brendan came on. He came on. When was it? 2000. When was that, Blas? 2019? Yeah. In like July. Same, similar to you. Stalked him on the Zanies calendar.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in a training camp yet. And Taylor, he was in training camp with the Titans. And I saw Shaw was coming to perform. And I was like, I got to get this motherfucker on the bus somehow. And just so happened, I just got done doing an interview with Michael Chandler. The first time. He's been on like three times now. Yeah. Great dude.
Great dude.
And he's like, bro, I could get you, Brendan. I'm like, are you serious? Because, and I didn't bring it because I was in a fucking hurry. But I have this book that I journal shit in. And the fighter and the kid, like inspirations you grab to kind of put visions together. The chairs, the little couch, the table, the fighter and the kid style. Like, there's just different shit that, like, you guys are in the book. I was telling Brendan the same thing when he was on here. But the fact now that I have you on, it, like, you know, we're laying in bed last night. My fiance's like, hey, I'm proud of you. And I was just like, yo, let's fucking go, dude.
That means a lot to me. As you get older, you just do your work. And then you realize you had an influence on people.
Yeah.
You don't realize it. And you're like, oh, that's what happens when you're gray and you've been doing it that long. People are, you're going to have an impact.
Bro, you've been, you've been in the game a long time. Like, you helped, like, the big thing with Shaw, too, was I looked at him because he was an athlete who transitioned into the entertainment world.
Yeah.
And like you said, there was no one. I mean, there's a couple more now, but there was no one in the space at the time. So we were the first NFL active player podcast, and it was kind of like picking his brain. Like, what was that transition like? It was all this different stuff. So,
well, it was because me and Rogan, and we were at Metamorphs, and me, Rogan, and Shab were sitting there watching the jiu-jitsu, and, you know, it gets a little boring. Come on. You're like, oh, he's got position. You know, after a while, you're like, I mean, it's fine if you don't know what you're looking at. But, and so Shab starts telling a story about how he was being so self-effacing, right? And Joe didn't really know him. And so Shab's like talking about how, I had just started fighting, and I'm calling out Nogueira. And it's like, somebody should have sat this kid down to say, hey, Joker boy,
yeah,
you ain't ready for the fucking nog, okay? You're not ready to step into the major leagues, bro. Take a couple more cuts in the minors before you. And he was just being so funny, and Joe was fucking cackling. And so he went to go to the bathroom, and Joe goes, that guy, he's funny. And I go, yeah. And he goes, no, but he's really funny. And I go, I don't hang out with him because he's got big muscles. I do. I mean, I'm a little gay, but I mean, you get over that after a while.
Hey, no pause. I mean,
after taking him in a little bit and felt him up a little bit, you get over that.
Yeah.
Now you need, it's not just sex. Now you need like good substance. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
What's
now
he about?
A personality.
What kind of depth do you have?
But that's the reason we hung out. The fucking guy was hilarious.
Yeah.
And we'd hang out. And that's when I said to him, I go, let's do a podcast. And then we'll call it Fighter and the Kid. And I said, well, let's call it, let's just about fighting. And he goes, no. Not just fighting, that'll kill me. Let's just talk about the way we talk. And that was it.
So you guys just started doing a podcast.
Doing a podcast.
And now
he's
that was
business guy. Like, see, what people don't realize is that he's the guy. I'd love to take credit for everything, but I was just showing up being a jackass, right?
Yeah.
But I've been doing it forever, so I can, you know. But he was the one who started saying, let's sell t-shirts. Let's do graphics. Let me hire people to, like, you know, do caricatures. Let's do photo shoots. This fucking dude was like, you know, a publicist and an agent. And
yeah.
I'd be like, all right. And he'd be like, wear this. This, you fucking don't wear that. I show up in flip flops. He goes, come on, man. You can't show your toenails. I didn't know. I'm a fucking,
right.
You know, my joke about guys like regular bros.
Yeah.
Is that, like, you know, he's like regular bros. The criteria for the way we dress, is it comfortable? Do I look like a pussy? Moving on.
Right.
I'm not going. I wonder if this fuchsia goes with my shoes. I don't know what the fuck fuchsia is, right?
Yeah.
But that's like it. I there's this true story. Like, my girlfriend goes, she has a bike with a basket on the front of it, and she was like, "Just take my bike." And I was like, "Nah." She goes, "Why?" I go,
"Nah.
I don't want. I might get jumped. Like, I'm just a target for bandits. Yeah. If I have like the groceries with my little French bread sticking out, and I'm biking, I just feel like I'm going to get beat up just for having a basket of." But Shab is one of those guys who just, he loves fashion. He loves color.
Oh, he's super into.
Oh, dude, he changes his fucking hair. And he'll wear like, you know, he'll wear something that's...
Wear that beanie on the back of his head.
He's a giant. He's a pituitary case. Yeah. Let's be honest. Like, he's not a fashion... He doesn't... You're never going to be Jared Leto, okay? You're never going to look good. You're just not, dude. You're just... You're a fucking 270 pound. He's like, I'm 240. You're 270 and thick. More. Thick as shit. And he wears like those little... What are those? Those fucking... Jeans,
yeah, the capris.
The capris. Dance slacks. But now he's a gorilla. He'll kill all of you with his bare hands, so he's allowed to. But so I can't really make fun of him for it.
That's why we're letting you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just keep going in on
if
him.
If he can wear an ankle bracelet, he would. He would. That's he flirts with it every day. I know. He goes, is today the day? No.
He's savvy, though. Like, when we got done with our pod, it was an awesome pod. Bloss remembers that we were kind of like, you know, taken back. And he was like, bro, you know, you ever need help or any mentoring through this, like, here's my number. Literally just whatever you need, like, let me know. I think you got something. Now, granted, our AC ran out and his brother was in the back and they almost passed out because we're in early August Nashville and people were hot as shit. But he's like, I think you got something, man. He's like, you know, you just got to stick with it and, you know, endure the negativity that's probably going to come with
it. Don't read it. I don't read comments.
Yeah.
I don't read good or bad. Good comments are just as powerful as bad comments.
Was that something he went through in the beginning? Like when you were getting him transitioning into the whole be out in front of the camera and be out in front of everybody world?
Yes. He would read comments, but I don't believe in reading. And you know, my last special, I guess people said good things, you know, and people were telling me that. And I never read one comment because I don't want anybody, if you tell me I'm really good in a certain way, it's going to define me. If you tell me I'm really good at this, I'm going to try to aim at that. It's like fighters. It's like, you know, like say, I don't know if this would make sense to you, but if I were to say, you're a knockout artist, you know, like if you're a fighter and somebody, this guy's a knockout artist, what you're going to do is you're going to go out in your next fight and try to knock the guy out. You're not going to just fight the guy in front of you and react to whatever you're given.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very dangerous place to be. I know that as an artist, I know that as like, you know, this is going to sound like a weird thing, but when you do a live performance, a play and you're when you're coming up as an actor, you hit certain scenes, you hit certain notes and the audience laughs their ass off. The next night, what you're doing is you're aiming to do that again. And then all of a sudden they didn't laugh as hard and you're like, fuck, they didn't laugh as hard and you're out of the scene. You're out of the scene. So you have to be very careful with how people speak to you. You're never going to be able to control how people speak to you, but you control what you take seriously and what you listen to. And the same thing goes with negative comments. Because somebody can say one thing to you. They can say one fucking thing.
Yeah.
They can say like, and it can hit home because it reminds you of what your dad said, your sister said, your brother said.
It triggers you.
They can say, yeah, he's a poor man's such and such. Or, you know, he's I heard somebody one time say, yeah, he's good at performance, but not good at substance. He doesn't really say anything. And I was like, it took me a long time to get over that. You got to be very careful, man. So now I just, I don't compare myself. I just am here. Well, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't have a plan.
Right. You said be ready for the charisma.
Be ready for that, dude.
And you are taller and more athletic in person.
Thank you. You see, you're not mad at my shoulders.
No.
The way my fucking hips taper and I mushroom into it. My back mushrooms a little bit.
Yes.
I got a V to my back.
You were squeezed into that vehicle out there.
Now I'm 170. I mean, obviously, I'm in a different weight class. But
you're a strong 170.
I got a high tight ass. I mean, even at my age, you're not mad. I don't know if you took me in. We will later. I'm too bad I'm not wearing tights. I'm built like a fucking dancer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see that. Yeah. We'll talk about
absolutely.
It.
I notice.
Got some cakes on me.
But, But yeah, as far as like the comments and stuff like that, was there like something pivotal that happened for you or somebody that put their arm around you and taught you that? Like, what was an influence that got you? Maybe it's reading. I know you're an avid reader.
Just failure. You know, I failed a lot. Anytime you're my age and you've been successful at whatever, you've had a lot of failure. You had a hell of a lot more failure. And I think part of failure is learning how to navigate. You have to keep adjusting your approach. you know, you're going to try something and you're going to not be good at it. And you have to keep adjusting your approach. That's why doing is so much more important than talking. The right. only way you're going to learn how to box or something impossible like that, or like there are things you know about football that you could never explain to me. It's just years of being on a field. So there's an intelligence. You can look at an offensive scheme and you kind of know. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get better at predicting, you get better at seeing what there's no way I could ever learn in a book what you have in your body, the decisions you make in a split second as leader of that defense or whatever that I could never do.
Right.
That only comes from doing. Right. And I think that, part of it was just realizing that, you know, making the mistake of relying on other people, making the mistake of relying on the support that you can tend to rely on, because what happens is you're letting them define you. I think actually, if I get really deep about it, so many of us limit ourselves and our potential because that's what we do. It's, Steve Jobs one time said, when I learned that everything around me was made by people no smarter than I was, it changed everything for me. There's something about that, right? It's very, very difficult to take ultimate responsibility for being great. It's fucking hard, because if you say I'm limitless, or if you say I can do what my heroes have done, that's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
It's just something about it, man, because you have to remove all the governors. I mean, that's really hard. It's really hard.
Absolutely.
Man, because what it means is every aspect of your life has to be super disciplined. And I'm more comfortable being in third place. I don't like being in first. Yeah. You know, first place, everybody's head hunting. Think about being the champion.
You put a lot of undue pressure on yourself, too.
I mean,
because the minute something goes off the rails, you can downward spiral, because you're starting to identify with certain things,
you know,
in that avenue of like greatness. There's just like a good balance, because, you know,
it's a balance, right?
Yeah. Because like being a young player, like I was super disciplined and, you know, I don't want to say obsessive, but like obsessive is the word I'm choosing, of just like, I have to be doing these things.
Yeah.
And like, no, I can't go visit there or there. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Will, you know, you can work out there. It's like, I have to work out here.
Yes.
I have to do this program. I have to eat this way. And you just get so like brainwashed into thinking you have to be on this certain path. So the moment something happens, or the business bites you in the ass,
you get rigid.
Yeah. And something out of your control happens to where you get benched, which is something that happened to me, you just get very bitter because it's something out of your control didn't go your way. And now your whole identity is thrown off because you were relying on all these disciplines to pay off.
And you forget you have to take care of, like, I don't know, a partner, you know? Like,
yeah.
Nobody teaches you how to emotionally take care for your wife or your significant other. Or,
right.
You know, those things that actually make your life worth living too.
Yeah.
You know, you spend a lot of time chasing that sort of white whale, that sort of, you know, that'll drag you under, you know, that's a Moby Dick metaphor. I'm sorry, guys. I read.
Hey, I know you do. I was actually super into, it was either one of your, Fighter and the Kid episodes, or it was with Joe, but you were talking about the book. I want to say it was Grit. Maybe it was about kids doing different sports.
Range.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yes.
I know you're a big reader.
Being too myopic on anything. I mean,
explain myopic. You have a lot of wisdom.
So look at Tiger Woods, right?
What does myopic mean? Shout out Bare Bottom Clothing. No free shout outs. Spring break season is here. Also, spring is coming up. Spring break is for the young cats, the kids in college, the young cats that are trying to make plans and go everywhere, the little boys and gals. But spring is also here for the adults that are going to want to hear about this bare bottom clothing. You have to make sure you're equipped with the right threads to conquer your spring adventures. And where should you go to upgrade your get outside wardrobe? Well, look no further than the boys at Bare Bottom Clothing. Bare Bottom Clothing is the go-to for the most versatile, comfortable, and wearable everyday clothing for men. With rapidly growing cult following of over 100,000 customers and countless 5-star reviews, you know that you're getting quality everyday threads for a fraction of what you have to spend with the other boys. Bare Bottom Zero Chafe Stretch Swim Trunks feature quick-drying 4-way stretch fabric made sustainably from recycled plastic bottles. We like saving the turtles. And their wildly versatile Volley Short Swim Hybrid is the go-to for trips on land or sea. Built for value, you're getting comfortable, made to last swim trunks, shorts, and tees that won't break the bank. Right now, I'm still in flannel season a little bit. While Bare Bottom typically donates shorts to children in need through their One For You, One For Them program, they are switching things up for a limited time. Bare Bottom will donate a protective mask to a first responder, teacher, or someone in need for each item purchased. Right now, our listeners, boys and girls, get free shipping on your first order of these super comfortable threads. Just go to barebottomclothing.com. That's B-E-A-R, like the big grizzly animal, bottomclothing.com. And use code BUSTIN to get free shipping on your first order.
Myopic means being narrowly focused. Myopic, like just, you have just tunnel vision on one thing, you know?
Yeah.
And Tiger Woods is an example. When Tiger Woods ended up getting into that scandal with you know, other women and stuff. People are like, oh, how could he have done that? What do you mean, how could he have done that? What do you mean, how could he have done that? He'd had to be perfect his whole life. From his, before he could walk, his father was telling him to be that precise with a club.
Oh, and you can tell, too, from that documentary that his dad was on.
Of course.
Yeah.
And so when you have to be perfect in every aspect of your life, no human being can do that. You cannot sustain discipline on that level because no human being can do that. I don't believe in discipline. I don't believe in hard work. I believe in inspiration. How are you inspired? What is the balance? What is your are you balanced as a human being? Where is your balance? You want to go all in for how long? How long can you sustain that? I'll count. I'll be waiting. It's true. You can be great, but you're going to have very little in the way of another life. You're going to pay a big price for that. And some people say it's worth it for a little while, but you have to be able to transition.
Yeah.
You got to be able to, you know, what happens.
How do you balance in that inspiration? Like say you're in, I'm inspired to be the best linebacker this year.
Yeah.
And so you cultivate disciplines around that inspiration. Yeah. Like, how are you balancing saying, I don't believe in discipline and hard work. I believe more so in the inspiration.
I'm not sure. Like, I don't like to be too, you know, I don't like to have a blue book here, but I love that motivation. I don't think you're ever going to be different. You're an intense guy, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's gotten you where you have. So I don't think the idea is to take away from that. I think the idea is to be aware that that mindset has its own traps.
Yeah.
That mindset is very necessary, but you better be careful with that mindset. You might want to keep a little door open in your kitchen. You might want to keep a little door open for some fun, for by the way, taking the whole routine that you have that you're religious with and throwing it in the air sometimes. Fuck it. Today, I'm eating all the pizza. Today, I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to do whatever I fucking want. You need that sometimes to remind you that this is all a game. And this is because if you get too precious about your routine, you get too precious about, it's like people who are super into health and they only eat this and they become cranks.
Yeah.
I didn't get enough sleep, so I can't work out. Fuck off.
Right.
Baby.
Does that have gluten in it or dairy in it?
I had an acting teacher who was amazing, and you'd have a student be like, no, I'm a vegan. And he'd go, you are? You should eat meat. You should go kill an animal, skin it, gut it, and then eat it, cut it out in the field and eat it raw. That'll help your acting. What the fuck? Yeah. Jumble it up. Shake it up, you fucking Puritan. Where's a table? I wish I could turn the table over. God damn it.
There's one right there, dude. You can fucking get after it, bro.
My neck isn't strong enough to hold that fucking bus with the boy's helmet up. Is that a Rydell?
Theo put that on when he was on here.
He did?
Yeah. He looked funny.
Do these things help with CTE? This is a motherfucker.
That's just a little, that's like one you get for Christmas and you think you're getting something, so you go play in the front yard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, it ain't the real deal.
I need a helmet that's way bigger than that. I need cushions. I need balloons on.
Yeah,
I don't want to get hit.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
But I like what you were saying about all that. Just because I feel like I'm more on the side of the spectrum of the inspiration type now, but finding that balance from the whole discipline, hard work thing. Because I've very much like lived in that for most of my career about it. Yeah, I feel like it's something that's never going to actually leave.
It shouldn't. There's nothing wrong with that.
The
goodies come from self-restriction. The goodies come from delayed gratification. The goodies come from making daily attendance and focus a habit. There's nothing wrong with that. because it's how you get better, right? It's like people laugh at me because I obsess over tennis, like my swing. Yeah. I watch videos and shit, right? And I want to be able to swing. What I want to grip here. And I was like, what the fuck? And then, but for me, I don't want to go out there and play tennis like this. And what I love dudes who are like, eh, and they're fucking, and they're just hitting the ball, or they're playing golf and they're like, eh, and then they get mad. God damn it, I suck today. Hey, bro, you've never studied the technique of fucking tennis. Yeah. So don't tell me you're mad. It's like golf. You play it, you weekend warrior. You don't, you should obsess. If you're really going to get mad at yourself, you should obsess over every detail of your stroke.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's how you get better. There's a methodology to getting better at anything, including relationships, including anything. There's a way to get better.
Right.
And there are people that can teach you how to do that. So you avoid the pitfalls. You avoid the plateaus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's a way to get you out of that. So good tutelage and you know, it's like my buddy Tony Blauer says, be careful what you practice. You might get really good at the wrong thing. It's really fucking true.
He's just on here dropping gems right now, boys.
You hear that, right?
Yeah, we heard that.
Tony Blauer, my buddy Tony Blauer.
We'll have that clipped up for sure.
Yeah.
But
it's true. And it's a very, very important thing. You know, practice makes permanent, you know?
Right.
So there's a book, the fuck is it called? I think it's called The Talent Code.
And yes, I've heard of The Talent Code.
And he talks about the concept of deep practice. And he looks at the people that get really good at something. And then there was a paper written on the difference between regional swimmers and Olympic swimmers. Okay. And you'll appreciate this as an athlete, because the difference between, so when you watch like Roger Federer, the great tennis players, do they practice more than the number 200 guy? No. Do they practice more? In fact, they might practice less. What's the difference between a regional swimmer and an Olympic swimmer? Do they practice more hours in the pool? Actually, no. What they do is they practice specifically. They're looking at the details of their stroke. So the one day they might practice just for a week. Their elbow's been here. And their coach says, your elbow's got to be here. So for 1 week, they only practice that. There are micro adjustments. And when you're dealing with, you know, 0.3 seconds, the difference between first place and I think fourth place in the Olympics in the freestyle swimming event. By the way, swimming should not get that much attention. Last time I gave a fuck about a swimming race was when I was 9. But that's another story.
Yeah.
But like the difference between first place and fourth place, no medal in the freestyle, was 2 blinks of an eye. Okay?
Yeah.
So if you're dealing with that margin, micro adjustments are everything. So the difference between a regional swimmer and a Olympic swimmer is that they practice differently. They practice so specifically. And that day, they're only doing one thing until they get it perfect. So that when you watch Rafa Nadal, you watch Federer, when they hit, they've gotten better as they've gotten older. They don't miss, because every single day they're practicing their micro adjustments. When Nadal, the story goes, when Nadal won Wimbledon, he came into the locker room and he's going, yeah, but I think my grip I need to change my grip. It's got to be a little bit more over this way. Always obsessing over that shit.
Right.
Because he couldn't play so in such a muscular way, he was getting injured. And so I think that the talent code talks about that, about what they call deep practice.
Yeah.
Like, are you practicing what you're bad at? Or do you go to the gym every day and like, are you practicing what you're good at? In jiu-jitsu, well, my guard's really good and I'm great at darts. Okay, cool. Got that. What else are you practicing to get better?
Yeah.
And I love that about.
Yeah. Anything. It's funny. You were talking about that swimming analogy, and we had to hear about that damn swimming analogy so much in college because coaches are talking about practicing harder and more. And this is the difference between winning and losing, like in the Olympics in the highest level.
Yeah.
This is how much you got to put into that little bit just to get us, you know, working harder, practicing more, not doing one thing for one day.
Right.
But adding periods.
Translates to football, though, does it?
This episode of Bustin' with the Boys is brought to you by Roman. Look, no one is perfect. We've all had bad performances. Bad performances in the football field, bad performances in the bedroom. And it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, the boys now have options for you. Go to GetRoman.com/bustin now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, or also known as erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find out the best treatment and plan that is specifically tailored for you. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. And it's also discreet shipping. I'm sure I'm going to get into that. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. There it is. It's discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/bussin and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your house. Complete an online visit today and connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/bussin now to get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/bussin. Get started now to save $15 on your first order of ED treatment. In ways, yes, because in tennis and swimming, you're more of an individual sport.
Yeah.
Like football, it is the ultimate team game. Like yeah. you need the hogs in front of you. You need the guys behind you. You need everybody. But in your own, like in my own individual body, I'm not the same player. I'm not the same ability I was at 23.
Yeah.
But like you were saying about Nadal and Federer, like I'm smarter. I'm more above the neck. You're more seeing things on film and watching certain tendencies and the way you break down personnels and everything like that, to where you just understand the game to where you might be a step slower, but that step is made up because you're playing more from the neck up.
Right.
That's where I think it translates for football. But as far as winning, like the Super Bowl and shit like that, like it is the ultimate. Football is the ultimate team game.
That's why football players I notice are so good socially. Like football players in comparison, like say fighters, with all due respect, fighters is such an individual kind of thing.
Yeah.
Football players, you've been communicating with each other as a team. So that
year round
social intelligence.
Yeah.
It really does. It's like the difference between a lion and a tiger. Lions are super smart because they live in a pride. So that when you own a lion, if you're a lion trainer, you have to understand when they're giving you an aggressive signal, a friendly signal, and they're going to look at you and they're reading you and they read each other. And there's a whole hierarchy, whereas tigers are solitary creatures, so that's more instinct. They're not as smart. That's fucking big cat. That's big cat stuff.
That is some big shit. I used to watch the Big Cat Diaries on Discovery Channel.
Fuck, dude. I'm so smart. Why are you guys not writing this shit down?
We gotta record it, dude. Oh, okay. You guys are running this thing, right?
My bad. Yeah.
What were you saying before the cats thing? I had something. I got truly fascinated because I'm a big animal guy.
How football players are socially.
Oh, socially. Yeah. Because you're taking guys from all of these different backgrounds. Like me, I grew up in small town Missouri, predominantly white. Then you go into a locker room at Nebraska and you're around people from Florida, from Texas, from California, all different backgrounds. And you got to learn how to like coexist and, you know, be social, make friends, do all these different things. And then you go from that locker room to the Washington football team. You go into that locker room. Then you go into, you're done with Tennessee or Washington after 5 years. Then you got to go somewhere new in Tennessee. Then you go in Oakland. Like you're around a locker room of like 50, 60 dudes that are, everyone wants to be the alpha.
Yeah.
And everyone comes from way different backgrounds. Yeah. Everyone comes from way different backgrounds. And you got to find the common ground because you're all chasing that one common goal of like a championship.
Yeah.
So
is there a black white divide, Samoan? Is there, do you find that? I always feel like there's real camaraderie in football.
Absolutely.
And like, I feel like it's like a great example of how well people can get along when they have a common goal.
Yes.
That's what I feel like. I feel like nothing has done more to break down racism and things than sports.
Yeah. Anytime there's a situation that happens, because in Tennessee this past year during training camp, everyone didn't practice that day. And you're kind of like, you know, pioneering this movement. But you sit back with all the boys in the locker room the common thing that guys say is you wish everyone could experience what we get to experience. Like we get to experience the locker room, because if we're all at home that day and we're seeing certain things, we're seeing it from a different lens. We're seeing everything from our own filter, from where we came from all that different stuff. The moment you walk in the locker room, you're not going to necessarily just come out and put all that baggage that you were feeling in that moment at home by yourself in the locker room. You're kind of going to maybe humor. Maybe it's, maybe somebody's hurting, maybe put your arm, but you're experiencing it all and navigating through it like together. together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because everyone's tough and everyone's loud behind that keyboard.
But you can develop real love and kinship with people too, who
yes.
come from a totally different background, right?
Yes.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. And you just wish, like, that was the big thing is, you come out of it like, man, you wish everyone could experience like a locker room, like a football locker room. We say it because we're football players, but I'm sure baseball and those teams feel the same way. But yeah. you wish everyone could experience that locker room vibe because it brings everybody together.
Yep.
But yeah, man, this episode of Bustle with the Boys is also brought to you by BetterHelp. We're going to get serious for a second. The last year has been hard on a lot of people. Very understandable. We've been going through COVID. We've been quarantining. We've been learning a lot of stuff about ourselves that we've enjoy learning, but also not enjoy learning. And that's why we're doing something new and partnering with our new sponsor, BetterHelp Online Therapy. At Barstool Sports, we truly love and appreciate our listeners. Without you, our tier ones, twos, threes, everybody, none of this would be possible and allow us to do this every week for you guys. So every once in a while, we try to bring you something good. Maybe it's for you, maybe it's not. A lot of us take care of our bodies, but with a tough year on many of us, we might also want to think more about taking care of our minds, taking care of our mental. There's a misunderstanding of what therapy is. It can be whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to be sitting around and talking about your feelings. It's none of that stuff. I'm actually going through premarital counseling right now with my fiance, and I absolutely love it. I'm able to talk about things that I didn't know I was able to talk about. I'm able to face certain things that I didn't know I had to face, that I didn't even know was in the basement. But I'm a huge believer and advocate in therapy. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is really all about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Our listeners are getting 10% off of their first month at betterhelp.com/bussin. That's BetterHelp.com/bussin. We went on.
We should be forced to play football.
Yeah. We had yeah. Then you have Nate. We had Nate Bargatze on, and he was telling his football journey, and he was basically talking about how he would bull in the ring would be going on in youth football. He's like, we got these grown men, mind you, they're 11 and 12. He said, we got these grown men out here, 11 years old, and he's like, they're doing the what's the thing in the circle? I'm like, bull in the ring. He's like, yeah, they're doing bull in the ring. He's like, you know, I act like my chin strap's broken. Something's wrong with my helmet. I take it. I'm like, hey, again, what do you know? It's broken again.
I learned very quickly. I wasn't built for football.
Did you play it?
Yeah. When I was 14, I was like, I want to be a football player. And they're just guys who are bigger and stronger like you. And I was like, well, I'm just not built for this. Also, I'm fucking freezing. It was in New England. I was like, I'm not built for the fucking cold. I got a long neck. I'd wear 6 layers. I'd still be freezing. I'm like, this sucks. And then getting hit when you're cold. Oh, and other guys would be like, it's fucking warm. Literally, I felt like a cat. Like somebody throwing a cat in a fucking pack of dogs. Like I was like, meow, where's a wall I can perch on and look at you guys? It was just like too much. I was like, ah, fuck, man. You guys are loud. Everybody's so strong. And that's why I went right to wrestling. I was like, can I wrestle a guy my size? Cool.
Yeah, weight class, make weight.
Yeah.
My brother, that's a different world too, wrestling now. Oh, that's
it's different,
man. You look Sucking over weight. And I can't eat fast food in high school because my brother's cutting weight. So my parents are like, you're not going to do it in front of him.
Yeah, the worst.
And just turn on all the hot water in the shower, steam the room, and duct tape, plastics on your body.
Oh, dude,
and he'd just be sitting in our own little makeshift steam room in the house to lose weight.
I used to dream about water. I dream about it. You just dream that you're in the desert. It was the worst because you're sucking weight. But again, I wouldn't have wrestled if I was big enough to play football. I would have played football because all the girls went to watch football. Exactly. No one went and came to watch fucking wrestling in my singlet as I'm shooting a double or a single.
Hitting him with the fireman's carry.
Whatever it was. And girls are like, what's he doing? And like, ew, he smells like fucking balls.
Cover him up on top. Just get on the elbow.
Yeah. After a while. Come on.
But, yeah. So are you thinking about moving to Nashville?
Yeah.
Because you were talking about looking at properties when we were texting. And I'm like, yo, are you?
I am.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the draw to Nashville?
Taxes. I think LA, I think California feels like it's just on life support, man. I just don't agree with a lot of stuff that's coming out of California. I don't like the schools. I don't like what they're teaching my children. I don't agree with it. And I feel like Nashville still has some sense, some common sense. So a lot of it's for my children. But I'm divorced. I get along really great with my kids' mother, but it's a thing because you know it's a big move. I can't leave without them. I gotta have my kids in the same state.
Are they coming too?
Well,
or is it?
That's the thing. If I'm gonna move here, I gotta get my ex and my kids to move too.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you have that good of a relationship.
Yeah, we get along great. You know, because we're raising the kids and we're both, look, we were married for 12 years.
Yeah.
And that was a long run. That was a good run. But I'm a comic.
Right.
God bless anybody married to a comic. All I take full. It's all my fault.
Yeah.
It's all my fault.
Right.
You know, but she was great. And she just dealt, you know, I don't know. I mean, she's the mother of my children. Right. So, and to her credit and, you know, the kids are the most important thing. So that adjustment is a whole different thing. But we're both on the same team that way, no matter what. And we like each other. We're friends. We like each other. We still laugh and get along.
That's good.
Thank fuck.
I mean, that could probably be a benefit of being
a
comic.
Some bad divorces, man. Woo! You know.
You didn't go through a bad one?
No. So, you know, I'm lucky.
Or is she thinking about, is she up to the idea of moving out to Nashville?
She likes to ride horses, you see. Now, I don't know if you know this, but horses are not cheap.
No.
You got to shoehorn them. Fuck that is. You got vet bills because they'll find 1,000 things wrong with that fucking horse. And then you got to house them. They live in a house, you understand, stables. Then you got to feed them. I don't know how much a horse eats, but either way, let me put it this way. I said to Shab, I told him how much I was spending on horses. And I go, I get a nice car for that. He goes, what? What? Pick one. Pick a car. You could drive a fucking Formula One for that. Go ahead. Pick any car.
There's no doubt.
It's crazy how much.
A few weeks ago, I was down in South Texas hunting with Colt McCoy. Shout out to boy Colt McCoy. He took us on this hunting trip. And we go over a year. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We go over a year on this annual hunt. And it's always down in South Texas. But we were down this year. And the guy who is in charge of the ranch and everything else, they got horses coming in late at night. Because he's like looking at them. Talking about the bloodline and how it costs this. Like, I'm talking horses in the six figures, bro.
Those are racing horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing.
And they're out there, you know, getting excited over the type of trailer that the horse is in and shit. Like, it's like a cult.
The drug testing for those horses is every bit as crazy as it is for any athlete.
What do you mean?
Steroids.
You say they're drug testing steroids.
They're not even, not just tested. You got those horses under, when you got a $30 million, $40 million, $100 million horse, I'm talking about that much, they're owned by kings, and those horses have armed guards watching them because they're afraid somebody's going to steal them, somebody's going to drug them so that they lose the race, somebody's going to give them steroids. You can't fuck around with that. That's a whole different, that's the sport of kings. But regular riding, if you want to ride around in a ring and jump once in a while, maybe show your horse, go to a little tournament and stuff like that. You know, just show up with the girls and just jump fucking poles and shit. Well, you can spend what it would cost to run a Ferrari every fucking year. Okay.
That's wild,
man. It's crazy, man. But Nashville, maybe it'll be a little cheaper. That's what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You're probably just trying to get like a show and like just one to ride on, right?
Horses are bringing me to Nashville, everybody. Horses. Yeah. I'm a horseman. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got you know your horses?
I don't know horses, but I know somebody who owns.
Oh yeah.
And she houses.
Really?
Blas is connected. He's a cop.
Oh, you're a cop. There you go, brother.
He's a cop. He works night shifts, and then he does. It fits everything else, and I don't know how he does it.
You better arrest me right now, because I'm guilty of being all kinds of happy. What the fuck? That sounds so crazy. Officer, you might want to arrest me right now, because I'm guilty of being happy. Fucking creepy shit, dude.
What was the draw to Nashville, though? Who drew you into Nashville? Is it Theo? Draft season is upon us. White, hand me the Manscaped bag. It's possible that you might have a little Trevor Lawrence haircut in your pants. That's why our partners at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, have partnered with us to make sure you don't gamble on shaving your balls the same way you like to gamble on football. For all of my draft geeks, we have an exclusive 20% off promo code, BUSSIN, at manscaped.com. Will your favorite team go defensive back in the first round? Not sure, but I am sure that with the Lawnmower 3.0, you can get your D back. I love that. I love when you can get your D back. Look, this is my own personal Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. Got a little stuff here at the top. We're going to go ahead and mark that off. Because of their ceramic blade and skin-safe technology, your nicks and snags will be reduced. This is the perfect protection for your franchise quarter balls. I want you to look in the mirror. Do you see any nose or ear hairs dangling? Look, fellas, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. The Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer is your solution. Why not use the best tools for the job there, boys? Their performance package comes with a new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, Weed Whacker nose, ear, hair trimmer, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for you to use when you're done quarantining, and some other liquid formulations like the Crop Preserver and the Crop Reviver. I believe this is the Crop Reviver. The Crop Reviver, a little ball toner for your little boys, your little testes down below that gives you a little boost. For a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag and patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. I'll say that again. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BUSSIN at manscaped.com. 20% off, free shipping, code BUSSIN at manscaped.com. It's time to turn that team in your pants around with Manscaped.
My buddies, I have a podcast now called Big and Hungry.
Yeah. Talk about that.
So Big and Hungry is, I do it with Steve Byrne, who's a great comic. And he lives here. And so I was like, man, you know, but also taxes. Also, I'm done with LA. Also, and a lot of people are moving to Nashville. You know,
Oh, city's growing.
You can get for a third of what you pay in LA for a house is crazy. And I just like the idea that you have neighbors. And by the way, where I live, the homeless situation is so out of control. It's beyond what you can imagine. We got 86,000 homeless people in Los Angeles alone. Think about that for a second. You're talking about shanty towns. And because of the laws, the police are not allowed to move them anywhere. If you have a tent, it's your home. You can't even go in there without a search warrant.
You can't go in a homeless dude's tent without a search warrant?
Without a search warrant. And sometimes they're cooking meth. Cops can't do their job. They can't do their job. A guy can put up a tent right outside your house. And if there's enough room on the sidewalk, he can stay there. And there go your property values. And then his friend comes over. And the cops go, there's nothing we can do. And the city council, a bunch of maniacs who don't live among the homeless, they got houses over there. They're right. Like, well, homelessness isn't a crime, so... Meanwhile, it's mental illness and it's drug addiction. It's not a housing shortage. Sorry, it ain't. It's mental illness and it's drug addiction. Those people need help. They need help, but you can't have shanty towns on the fucking street. You can't have it. That's just me.
They shit all over the place too, right?
Conservative. Kill me. Kill me that I sound conservative. I'm sorry. The fuck out of here.
Yeah, I have no clue what goes on in California.
Yeah, well, good.
State. Like you're like, I'm just listening, like just being educated on California. Yeah,
it used to be the greatest state in the world. Now it's like, look at everybody's flocking out of there. They're all like, let me get the fuck out of here.
Won't we get in show about here?
I sent him a video of some houses and of this place called The Station in Williamsville Town County or whatever.
Williamson County?
Masks are now. It's just like, they're optional. Yeah. And I was like, come on, bro. Come on out. Come on, huh?
Are you down like the Franklin Brentwood area?
Yeah.
It's a nice area. It's a growing area.
Like a little quaint town.
Yeah.
I want to get to a point where I smoke a pipe and I wear a tweed jacket. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
I'm an older gentleman, but I'm tight. Still keep it tight. You know what I mean? I'm gray, but I'll keep you busy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I keep the ribs on me. I got heavy arms and a tight belly. You know what I'm saying, guys? And I never, ever take a week off from doing my goblet squats, etc. I go deep. I go deep with my exercise.
Did you look for gyms down there too? You're gonna goblet squat.
I got a garage, brother. I got a garage. Do a little jiu-jitsu once in a while. Maybe get into a boxing ring, move around a little bit, get tagged up a little bit so I can understand distance, keep it real. You know what I mean? Once in a while, you might have to mix it up. And now I'm not a stranger in a strange land. I'm like, been punched in the face last week. Let's fucking go. Now, if you play in the NFL, I'm probably gonna run away. And the problem with that is you're gonna catch me. That's what kills me.
That says speed.
You got some speed.
What'd you run a
40 in?
I don't want to.
No, I love this.
4.56.
That's very fast.
It's a 4.56.
That's very fast, though. Now, here's my favorite civilian. This is my impression of every guy who played high school football. Ran a 4.4 in high school.
You did?
No, of course not. My buddy said that to my buddy, to Prashab. He goes, I ran a 4.4 in high school. And Prashab goes, No, you didn't. I wasn't there, but I know you didn't.
Yeah.
No, I swear to God. He goes, yeah, I know. Somebody hold the stopwatch? Yeah. It was more of a 4.8, 4.9. How about that? True.
That is true.
Yeah.
I mean, handheld laser. It is true.
Wide receivers run 4.5.
If you look mine up, it's a 4. It's like a 4.6, 4.62, 4.63 laser.
So you lied to me. You said 4.5 something.
Well, so here's what happened was.
You liar though, right? You liar.
We could get Dobson on the phone. You guys know, you guys have heard of Dobson.
Yeah.
He's a strength coach.
We're not going to do it. We're not
going to. We're not going to. But if we did.
You get my mom on the phone right now.
But if we did on pro day.
You get my mom right now.
I ran a 4.56 because I have the Nebraska line. I'm tied with the Nebraska linebacker record for our 10-yard split.
Jesus.
1.41.
Jesus. You got speed, bro. That's quick. That's called quickness.
It's a little different now. I don't know what I would be now.
You know what you are? You're cat quick.
Yeah.
You're cat quick.
Yeah.
Keep going. Keep talking.
That was the end of my story.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the end of my story.
What was your vertical?
Vertical was 32, but the vertical I very much hacked it as much as I could. Like I'm talking, you know, they try and measure, you stand up tall and they try and get your, the tip top, the
still
point
good,
of your hands, right?
Very
and you're
tough.
trying to jam down your shoulder, right? Like they're trying to yank it up and you're like, ah,
oh,
you know, my labrum.
Oh.
And so you're sitting there like this with it locked in.
Oh.
So that way when you jump, like you got a couple more inches.
Gotcha.
I'm very much probably a 29-30 guy. No. Yeah. 32 is what I measured in at, but.
What'd you bench? How many times did you do 225?
24 times. Yeah, there's the stuff right
That's
there,
a lot,
dude. There's the stuff right there.
How was your
check
squat?
The tape. Hey, check the tape.
Oh, let me check the tape. How was the squat?
My squat?
Let me get my hand on my pants.
Keep talking to me like that.
Yeah,
What's the squat?
Yeah, tell me, but speak slow.
My one rep max on squat got up to 500.
It's a lot of weight, dude.
It's a lot, not close to what you witness in the weight room.
I believe that.
I'm talking bars bending, those barbells bending.
I asked Rich Incognito how much he
You've met Rich?
Yeah. And I mean, shake my hand, watch this. Give me your hand. So, you have a strong hand. My fingers didn't go past. I'm telling you.
Dude, I know Richie.
See my fingers? He has that much more meat on his hand. And I was like, get the fuck. I went, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Like that. And then I go, because I'm a little bit gay, I go, well.
Because I'm a little bit gay.
First of all, he's a silverback. He's a blonde silverback. You put him among a bunch of gorillas, and the dominant males are going to challenge him.
Yes.
And they might lose.
Yes.
And they might, or they're going to have their hands full.
Yes.
And I go, what do you squat? He goes, well, when I was squatting heavy, I probably got up to about 8.
I believe it.
Eight.
I believe it. He was the heaviest hands I have felt.
Okay, so you know that.
Oh yeah. And I met him. It was a bit of an exchange. He was kind of like, show me your six pack, lifted up my shirt, touched my stomach.
He's mad, like, he's a little jealous of that.
He's like, feel mine, you know, I got a different kind of six pack.
Yeah.
And
he'll bully you. He'll give you a good shove around.
Yeah, yeah, no question.
I saw him pick a man up over his head at the Playboy Mansion.
I believe
and
it.
And threw the guy on his back. The guy was fucking with him.
Yeah.
He picked him up and went like that. Like for real.
I believe it. I literally verbatim, I believe that story.
Give you a shove around.
I was teammates with him in Oakland.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh,
so I've seen that he's like 36, 37 now. He's been playing a long time.
Long time, dude.
Long time.
Long time.
And he is a monster, bro. But extremely heavy hands. I compare it like, it was probably either him or Saffold. That time Saffold almost threw me into the stands.
The hands, and I don't know if you can bring it up. Javon Kearse, remember the freak?
Yeah.
Let me say this right now. Nobody's ever seen hands like this in my life. I was talking to him. He would recognize me. So I'm all like giddy, right? I'm with my wife at the time. My wife, her DNA, something kicked in and she went like this. I just heard her go, your hands. And I'm like, she started ovulating. I was like, hey. And it was embarrassing. It's embarrassing because I put my fucking hands up against his hand and I immediately began producing estrogen.
He's even got photos
like
of him doing that hand thing.
I've never seen anything like it in my life. I've never seen anything like it.
How big are they? Are you able to?
Well, they're spiders. Well, you've never seen anything like it. It's the
they have all these measurements though from when you do the combine and stuff like that. So they have like hand size and everything. That's what I was asking.
Stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. And he was 260 running a
11.6.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So mine was like.
Let's call it a foot.
Yeah, yeah. Let's round it up.
Let's round it up.
Let's round it up.
I'm giving him a foot. Because he was probably doing what you were doing, where he was jacking his fucking, he was jacking his knuckles. He wasn't stretching all the way. Because when you have hands that big, you're lazy about it. You and I would be like this. We'd be stretching as much as we could. I'd cut the skin here.
But to get a little more length, like just to get that draft, just to get drafted, dude.
But for him, he's like, what, huh? He's, what? Go ahead.
Yeah. We'll give it a foot. Where'd you meet him at?
I was at a premiere.
I mean, you've lived out in California. It's like a way of life out there.
You see famous people all the time, which is kind of weird.
Is it?
Well, it's weird when I did a thing with Tom Cruise and I kept staring at him.
Flex.
What's that?
Flex.
Flex, what do you mean?
You just flexed.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. I'll drop names if I want.
I love it, yeah. I said Colt McCoy. No, but I'll get, the quarterback? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Yeah. But I'll get crazy. Crazy on you. Don't get me started on names. I mean, if you want me to flex, I'll fucking flex. Get me a straight razor and some oil. I got to take the hair down so you can see what I'm really working with.
You were looking at Tom Cruise.
I just kept staring at his head. We're doing a reading in this room with only six other people, and I kept looking at his head. He had a small head, but he was beautiful. He's a beautiful. He's like somebody I'd grown up watching. He's the biggest movie star in the world. And I kept being like, I was like, I'm fucking doing this with Tom Cruise. I wasn't over it. It was a big deal.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, that kind of stuff is like it's. And then I had to get myself together. I'm like, just do the fucking.
He's like, I wasn't over it. I was. We were talking about it the other day. I always have this thing like, what would my 10-year-old self think of the way I act around certain people?
Yeah.
Because I'll get like joked on and stuff because I want to meet or shake hands. Like, yo, let's get a photo or something. I'm like, yo, I want to make my young 10-year-old self proud because he would be stoked for me right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, when you grow up with certain people, like I grew up with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Sugar Ray Leonard. Yeah. I grew up with these people and I was at Stallone's house standing there talking to Arnold, Stallone, Sugar Ray Leonard, and I think Michael Strahan was there or something, and Guy Fieri's in the kitchen cooking.
Okay? Yeah, what a fucking party, dude.
I'm standing there and I'm sorry, did I mention that Al Pacino came strolling up? So now I'm like, I grew up with these people. For people who are younger, they don't know. These are legends.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to get a story in because I got shit they're going to be interested in, right? Oh, let me tell you my story. So I'm trying to get a little, I'm just trying to have an imprint
because
I'm a loser and I'm still not over this. And I'm talking or I'm like.
Oh, so this is one of the times you're driving home, you're like, I blew it.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Well, no, the best part is I'm standing there going, and I'm trying to, me too. And I have a story about that. You know, I'm trying to get in like a loser. Okay. And Bill Burr walks by with a cigar and he goes, you've been here over an hour. Get over it. And just keeps walking. I'm like, you're right. I'm a loser.
You see Brian like start to bring out his phone. Hey, you mind? Hey guys, let's just do the group photo.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Arnold wants one. Like, let's just get the group photo.
Yeah, let's say, yeah, these guys want one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get a tattoo to my chest.
Let's talk about the new podcast, Big and Hungry, and then Fighter and the Kid. Like, what are the things you're getting? Because I follow the Fighter and the Kid very closely.
Yeah.
And you've been going back on. Is it like, are you going back? Like, is Brian back on the Fighter and the Kid? Explain the dynamic
We'll see. You know, it's still a dicey subject. It's still a thing where this is a different kind of world nowadays. So what I'm doing is I'll pop in and Brennan and I, maybe we're talking about maybe doing something eventually, you know, kind of there's the Brennan and I are very close and we have a lot to do.
Right.
And so that I'll just say that, people haven't heard The Last of Us. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen yet. But in the meantime, I'm doing Big and Hungry. And I got Conspiracy Social Club with the great Sam Tripoli. It's on Patreon, but that motherfucker, he's a conspiracy guy.
Yeah.
And he just goes off. And I like to debunk the conspiracies.
Yeah.
And every time I start talking about how I don't believe this, he's like, white girl, don't go in there. You know how like he's like how black guys in the movie theater, like, black girl, don't go in there. You're going to die. All the other people die. You know, the white girl's like, I'll go into this dark room, you know?
Yeah.
And every time I try to do that, he's like, white girl. And so he's so deep in conspiracies and I don't believe in conspiracies. So it's great because, and it was just this idea that actually Schaub came up with. And he was like, just you should, cause it started with Eddie Bravo on when we do the Fight Companion, Eddie Bravo would be going deep and I'd be like, I don't buy it. You know, I don't believe it. You know, I think Islamic extremists did 9/11. Fuck that, inside job. I'm like, oh God, you know.
You always got that dude yelling that.
Yeah. So it's always, it's fun to do. So for that takes up a lot of time.
Right.
And then, but I got plans. We got some plans.
What's the Patreon world like? Cause I followed the Patreon world more so like when we were signing with Barstool, and then you're kind of seeing the big moves like with Spotify, and now you see Joe Budden leave Spotify, go the Patreon route, and now he's kind of trying to be like a catapult for the Patreon route.
Well, Patreon's good, and I love what they've done for us, but Vimeo is the hosting thing, and so when Sam talks about certain conspiracies, we get taken down from Vimeo because they have a very strict policy against what they would consider disinformation, misinformation, malinformation. So if you start talking about conspiracies in a certain way, they have a very strong policy. And so they will. So the problem with that is that it's very interesting because you're dealing. One of the challenges we're going to have as podcasters is that big tech does, in many ways, they have a responsibility. Now, you can go one way or another, you know, but they tend to. The challenge for big tech is that I do think they probably have a bias, just like I think a lot of journalists have a bias. And journalists have a bias and big tech has a bias because they tend to be more left-wing than they are right-wing, or more left than center, because they come from parts of the country that tend to be more left.
The big cities.
Yeah, the big cities. They tend to be educated that way. So there's going to be, without, you know, as a human being, you're going to have an ideological bent. We all do. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens then is you say, well, how do I make the world a better place? How do I make the world a safer place? And there tends to be this thing where it's like, if somebody's talking about how the election is fraudulent or masks are not effective, there are people who go, wait a minute, you're spreading information that's not true. That can cause damage. So I have to censor you.
Right.
Now, whether that's right or wrong, I'll leave up to history and I'll leave up to people. I have a problem with it, but I do sympathize also with an issue they have with people using their platforms to spread harmful information, right? So I don't know what to do. I'm not in that position. But what's interesting is that when you're on Patreon and there's that threat looming, or you're censoring yourself without realizing it, there are other technologies that come along. Like this company called Rockfin that works on Bitcoin. You can do anything you want on Rockfin.
I think I just heard of
or
that.
Or Locals. You can do anything you want. Clay Matthews on Locals. That's owned by Dave Rubin. So there are certain platforms where you can just say anything. And I think that's the future. I think the future is we need competition. You can't have big tech owning all means of information. You can't. You can't have Amazon. If Amazon has that much power, and now apparently Bezos says, there are some books he's just not going to allow to be printed. Okay. There's some books he's just not going to. Well, no publisher is going to fucking fuck with you if Jeff Bezos isn't going to carry your book on Amazon. There's no money. So that is a form of censorship. That is a form of book burning. And I'm huge. I have a big problem with that. So if you have the powers that be that can turn you off anonymously, when you get your account suspended, you don't know who did it. And you don't have a reason. They just say you violate our practices and you're turned off. I've seen this happen. We all have.
Yeah.
I worry about that kind of power when it's anonymous, when it's not accountable. And I think what's going to happen is I think we're going to have to innovate our way out of that problem. What I love about the marketplace is that there are people who are very smart who are going to go, if you don't like that platform, come over here and we'll let you be totally free.
Right.
And I think what happened with Parler and what happened when they suspended the New York Post Twitter feed because they broke that story about Hunter Biden was people were like, dude, that's scary, man. That's scary. Because not everybody on Parler was an extremist. So now what?
Yeah.
You know, now it's like, well, I don't want that to happen. Americans hate that shit. Americans should hate that stuff. It's like, wait a minute, man. You're telling me what I can and can't listen to. You know, and they took the most powerful man in the world and turned him off. They took Donald Trump and it was a cyber assassination. I'm not a fan of that guy. He annoys the shit out of me in a lot of ways. But we do have a country now where the president.
Right. And he's off everything.
And that
what are you trying to make, like some Snapchat or some?
Well, he probably is trying to come up with his own Trump media. But look, you've got Apple, you've got Google, you've got Facebook, you've got, you know, Microsoft, you've got these players that have way too much power. We all depend on Twitter. We all depend on these companies because our money depends on it.
Right.
If you get deplatformed, it's a major problem. You can't pay your mortgage.
Right.
You can't feed your kids. You can't send your kids to school. You have to sell your house and move, and your kids have to go to a different state or something. I don't know what you do. That's a very dangerous thing. If you can be deplatformed for saying something that you believe, And it could be something like, I believe in the biological differences between men and women. If you say that on certain platforms, you can be taken off YouTube. You can be taken off these things. I don't think that's good for the freedom of expression. I don't think that's good for democracy. I don't think that's good for our country. I think it's fundamentally anti-American. I worry very much about that. So what I think the answer is that you need competition. You need alternatives. You know, I don't want to have to rely on these huge players. They have outsized amounts of power. This is going to bore the fuck out of everybody who's younger on Barstool, but I'm going to say this. John Stuart Mill, the great American philosopher. Hell yeah. He talked about why freedom of speech is so important. Freedom of speech is so important because if you believe something, you have to allow other people to speak their mind. Because first of all, they might make you uncomfortable. But what happens when they make you uncomfortable is that you might change your mind. The only way we change our mind is if somebody comes in with a better argument that actually changes your heart and mind. Somebody shakes the foundation on which you think your truth is on. Okay, they come up with a better argument. They beat your idea with a better idea. And you go, I never thought of it that way. That's how I changed my mind. That's how I always change my mind. Somebody smarter, somebody who just has a different perspective comes along and somebody did
makes
it on
you
the
see
left.
It differently.
Somebody did it like with Mike Lewis's book, The Fifth Risk, basically talking about how a lot of what we do in this country is socialist. I mean, like how we need government. I rely on government and I don't even know how it was an eye opener for me. I was embarrassed, dude.
Yeah.
I talk about being a libertarian. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I don't know how government works.
Right.
I'm 54. No way, you look so much younger. But 54,
yeah, it's a
who
weird.
Said that? But the point is, at 54, I had to learn that government does all. I don't know anything about government. It was embarrassing. And I'm full of opinions. And I'm a libertarian. Are you, Bri? In every way? In every way? Because apparently, I didn't know what the fuck the Department of Energy, Department of Agriculture, Department of Commerce does. But I rely on all of it, and so does this country. So there are a lot of government bureaucrats. So there's a lot of things I don't know. Until I read something and it gives me an argument and it changes my mind, changes my perspective. And the reason you need freedom of speech is because you have to allow other people. First of all, they might change your mind. Okay. They might make you uncomfortable. They might make you angry, but they might change your mind. Or they say something that you don't agree with and it just strengthens the foundation that you live upon. It reminds you of how your position is actually the truth. When you
confirms
hear
that bias.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not even bias, maybe it confirms the truth. So you need pushback. You need people with different ideas to test and play devil's advocate. And the way you deal with free speech is not censorship, it's with more free speech, even free speech you dislike. That's my thing. But that's John Stuart Mill. What does he know? He's not smart at all.
Yeah, so Patreon.
That was the bathroom break. Everybody's like, I'm going to the bathroom, dude.
Hey, no, dude. I was into it. I know Alex was.
Yeah.
Alex is right? into that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But
Alex is an educated man. You a reader? You got a good head of hair on you, bro.
He does, doesn't he?
How tall are you, bro? You look like you got some length of bone.
6'2".
You're damn right you are.
He played ball. He played baseball.
You played baseball?
Yep.
D1?
Yeah.
D1 athlete.
Wait, you played D1?
Yeah.
I'm sorry for not knowing that.
That's okay. So you treat me.
Where'd you play at?
Bryant University.
Yeah, I see you differently.
Yeah.
Bryant?
Yeah.
Bryant University?
Yeah.
Are they D1 or are they D1AA?
Hey, come on, man. Hey, come on. See what happens.
D1. We went to 2 regionals while I was there.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
What position?
Shortstop and then pitcher.
Shortstop and pitcher. That's impressive.
You went to NMH, right?
I sure did.
Where were you living up there?
I was a boarding school, so I lived on campus. From 14 until 18.
Nice.
Parents threw me away. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I had buddies who went there.
In Saudi Arabia. What's that?
I had friends who went there, yeah.
Dude, I saw you were all over the world when I checked your little Wikipedia page for a second.
All over the world until I was 14.
Until 14, yeah.
The only reason I didn't go pro in football.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
I didn't learn the game really.
Right. You know, right. You weren't in it soon enough.
Yeah, but I got grit.
Yeah.
Open my chest up. You know what you find? A fucking lion heart.
Yeah.
Doctor's like, what the fuck is this guy? He's got a lion heart.
Yeah, because he was like, yeah, you know, I played football when I was 14. It's like once he get like he's like in, he's like, yeah, let's go play. Let's go see what this is about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. These guys are hitting way too hard. Yeah. People would run at you. I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not good with that stuff.
Did you see that video going around? It's like I tweeted about it yesterday. It's like wrestling, basketball.
Oh, I've seen that stuff. Yeah.
they're like, they're playing basketball, but they're wrestling.
Yes, tackle basketball.
Yeah. One dude's got the ball, right? And he's trying to like advance it down the court and stuff. And then just off to the side, you see two dudes just going at it.
Dude,
for no reason.
That's Dagestan. Don't ever fight a dude with a chin strap for a beard, okay? Don't do it. They got a forehead that they never lose their hair, and they got a chin strap for a beard, and they believe in God, and they and don't fight, and they've been training since they were one.
Dead shit right there, dude.
Just a bunch of wrestlers trying to play basketball.
Look, dude.
He's basically
he doesn't even have the ball. He's just like, hey, fuck you, man.
Dude, my buddy is a military guy, and well, he works for the government. He's in Azerbaijan. And Azerbaijan is right near Dagestan. And the MMA is a national sport. These guys are all wrestlers. Look at these fucking guys. Can't wait to grab each other.
Somebody has a ball and you got...
These fucking guys are hugging.
Yeah, you got four sets of dudes just going at it.
Well, this is what happens when homosexuality is illegal in a country. Yeah. You're like, let's play basketball in singlets. And we fucking got to grab each other and hold each other until you can't move. fuck the ball. Oh, I'm gonna push my dick against your dick. Yeah, I'm straight. Oh, you smell good.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like
My mouth's on your neck.
Can they not shoot the ball?
It doesn't matter.
Well, he went and did a layup. Like it seems like they can't shoot
that
unless they're in the key.
Behind him, he's got him around the waist, and he's holding on to him. The other guy's trying to post him out. Post him out by perking.
It would be hilarious if a ref just comes in and calls clasping.
You know, it's
just
funny?
Out of nowhere.
You'd dominate in this sport. You'd go in there and.
I mean, I'm sure I could dominate in this sport. This isn't a sport that I would want to do.
Nah.
I quit wrestling.
Yeah.
Like I told my parents after sixth grade, like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. And then because my brother, he was really good at it. So it was like when football season's going, I had the attention. When wrestling season was going, Cody had the attention. He was always first in state.
Name.
Yeah, Cody.
Muscular
he was a
kid, huh?
Yeah, national champion, Jesus. State champion.
Jesus.
And
your genetics are stupid.
Wrestling was just, it's a difficult sport, bro. You live like this high for 3-4 months out of the year.
Nightmare.
Unless you do it all year round and travel and do all that stuff. But, and then in high school, I had to wrestle my junior year because I didn't go out for baseball. Like when I said I was going to go out for baseball, I decided to do football all year round. And my parents were basically pissed at me and said whenever football was over, I had to either wrestle or I was grounded all of winter sports. So I wrestled my
parents.
Junior year. Yeah.
I love your parents.
Yeah, so I do.
I did that to my son. My son lied. And my ex thinks I'm hard on him. My son, he lied. I go, why'd you lie? He goes, I said, I don't know. I don't want to. I go, hey, why did you lie? He goes, it's in my nature. Okay.
Oh, shit.
And I go, oh, really? Really? I go, cool. Tell you what, I'm going to grab a workout in the garage, in the cement garage, kind of cold on your feet. You're in bare feet? Very cool. Gonna need you to stand and just watch me. I made him stand. Just stand in the fucking gym while in my garage while I worked out. That was his punishment. He said, I'm tired. I go, yeah, I know. You're a liar. So you're going to stand until the lie leaves you.
So he just had to stand and watch you work out the whole time.
Yeah, that's right, dude. And I got a workout in. Now, it was probably a 25-minute workout.
I was going to say, what was the workout?
Eternity for a 9-year-old. He's like, dude, I'm so bored. I'm like, yeah, I know. And I hate that you lied to me blatantly.
Yeah.
So if it's in your nature, got to make you stand on cold cement till it leaves your nature.
Yeah. What kind of workouts are you doing these days?
Well, let's put it this way. I confuse my central nervous system, bro.
I'm
flipping tires sometimes. Maybe I wear a fucking weighted vest and I do some pull-ups. You know what I mean? Maybe some days I don't do weighted. Maybe some days I do goblet squats and I go right into dips and then I go right into pull-ups. You never know with me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll roll around on a mat with somebody once in a while or just hit mitts and then glove up and put on a helmet and a mouthpiece and let the guy bang me up a little bit. I don't know. God, I sound so fucking macho, dude.
It's funny. It's like
that's what happens when you're a high school athlete and you never made it.
You're surrounded by all the dudes that you surround yourself
that
with.
I'm like,
what kind of workouts are you doing? And it's like, all right, he's trying to chirp me right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's bring some heat.
I was deadlifting. I don't get embarrassed often. And Shab and Tim Tebow walked in, and I was deadlifting 145 for reps.
Did you hit the knee? Did you hit a knee? Did you hit a Tebow?
I didn't hit a knee, but I was looking at my left arm, which looked like it belonged in it belongs on a female ballet dancer. I mean, it's just so sad how thin my and I'm deadlifting, and they walked in, And I got embarrassed. I stopped deadlifting. I stopped. I went, ah, I'm done. I'm done with my workout. And then I did do more pull-ups than both of them. I hope they hear that too, because I did.
Yeah. Is this at the new gym that Brandon's talking about? How he,
now,
the one he goes to?
Burn like 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. Okay. This was back in the day. I got you. I got you. I thought you were deadlifting.
By the way,
now.
He's gorilla strong. He's
Brandon
strong. Like, there's strong and then there's, no, well, yeah, Tebow too. But there's strong and there's Brendan. Like let that dude.
Oh, Brendan's strong like that.
Like, he'll carry 100 pounds in each hand for 6 minutes.
So he yeah, he's got a grip.
I watched him deadlift. I watched him take 550 on the crossbar, 550. And he did 10 reps. He could have talked to me through them. 10 reps. And then he did 10 sets of 10 reps. So he did 100 with 550. I saw that with my own fucking eyes. Okay. And his brother told me that he got in trouble at the gym because when he was deadlifting for weight, he was bending the bar. Okay. He was bending the bar. So
damn,
he's got
that is
short
strong
fingers
as shit,
and
dude.
Really long palms.
Does he?
He's a freak.
Yeah, I mean he was in MMA. Like, those dudes have different strength, grip strength. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cody was like, Cody's like 170. He wrestled at like 150, 156, whatever the weight class is called. Yeah, he's smaller. No, he didn't. And but he could deadlift as much as me. He could do all this, all the stuff where you could pull any pulling movement. Yeah. He was just a monster at it because they just have a different kind of grip.
That's a nightmare on a bar. You don't want to fight your brother.
No. Did you see that? Did you see that Oklahoma football player get into a fight with that MMA guy?
Yeah. 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 Got knocked out. Yeah. It's a different language. I don't.
Football players always got to learn the hard way going up against wrestlers.
No, your hands are going to be down, and he's going to put his hand on your chin, and you're going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Football's a different thing. You can tackle.
Yeah.
Cool. Now what?
Right.
Now what? Do that to a jiu-jitsu guy who's very comfortable on his back. Watch how long it takes before you tap in, because he'll just fucking take your ankle. You got big arms? Cool. I'm going to get your ankle. You mind if I'm going to wedge it here and just pop your knee? Is that cool? Just pop your knee. They can do all kinds of weird shit. You don't even know what's happening. You're like, huh? Hey. But boxers are even worse. Or Muay Thai guys.
What how'd you get in all the fighting stuff?
Because
just from wrestling or just
don't
being?
Like being pussy. Don't like being small.
Got to stand up for yourself.
I don't want to be, I've never wanted to be bullied. That's why I realized right away when I became a wrestler and I got a little bit good at it.
Yeah.
The football players didn't fuck with me because I was like, you know.
Oh, so you were solid.
It was a mentality. I don't know if I was solid, but, you know.
You said you got good. You know what I mean?
I mean, listen, you know, I'll keep you busy. You know what I'm saying? Dude, I went to Dan Gable's wrestling camp in Iowa.
Dude, those fucking Iowa dudes.
That's how I did. Kept them busy. Ask me how I did again. Watch this. I met him halfway.
So you're about to do a live pod at 7?
Yeah, I gotta. Yeah, look at this shit. Yeah, it's Zany's.
Yeah,
Big and Hungry podcast.
Do you
at 7?
You said you recorded one earlier today too. Is that one to kind of backlog? You know what I mean? Like,
yes. We're backlogging because I'm in LA and he's in Nashville, so we just stack them. And I'm going to be here a lot. So, and he.
I'm glad you're coming, dude. Do you think you're going to be set up here?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to get Brendan out here. Brendan, you got to get out to Nashville, bro.
Dude,
now,
I'm telling
Theo's
you.
Out here when they were on. I was kind of poking the bear.
Out. Why not move
I was
out?
Trying to poke the bear. I'm like, hey, Theo, why doesn't Brendan come here? You got King and the Sting. Now you bring the boys back.
Theo just guessed it on this podcast I just did. He's so funny.
Dude, Theo.
That dude's so, he's such an original. And I made him cry the last episode we did. You're welcome. I did this past weekend, and
he's
cried.
Deep. He goes deep too.
He's special, dude. He's an original.
Yeah, yeah. But we got you got your guys set up, Brendan. Like, we might as well start turning that LA scene into the new Nashville scene.
I just love this. This is incredible. This bus.
Yeah,
this
we
is a
great
podcast.
This was definitely tailored. The bus was tailored because when they showed me the bus, I was like, how are we going to get all the equipment and everything? Oh, I was more starting
was
at no.
Was this Barstool?
So when we, no. When we found the bus, it was, Brendan was at the first spot that we were at. We were just in a back parking lot. We had this production, these production guys that wanted to, who were doing it with us. And one of the guys, Juice, shout out Juice, he showed us a picture of a bus. Would you guys be interested in doing it on a bus? And I was like, me personally, no, but I know when Taylor shows up and sees this, he will want to go full, he'll want to go. Full send.
I'm pissed I didn't meet Taylor.
Yeah, I know. He was bummed, bro, that he couldn't be here. And he's like, I get it, though. Like, we got to do it. We have to do it.
I
would have
been on his lap, probably.
Bro.
So when you bench press.
Dude, you're
strong, huh?
You want to ask me questions like that, dude? He's 3-time Pro Bowler, one of the best left tackles in the game.
But he's not fat.
Not fat. He's 16%.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And
he's got a piece on him, or is he working with a regular?
I don't know, but I would say he's more of a grower than a shower.
You've not seen it.
I haven't seen the growth. No,
I got to see what he's working with because otherwise I'm.
When you're in showers that we've been in, like.
You see some,
you're standing next to the old lineman. You know what I'm saying?
Guys. You see some guys.
Yeah, you see some stuff.
You see some dicks.
Yeah, you see some shit.
Yeah, well, there are guys. We're well
versed in the meat peaking game, dude.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you'll have to come back and we'll have to do it again.
This is my impression of being in the locker room. That's a good game. It's an amazing game, guys. Yeah, congratulations. I've always wanted to be a football player. Congrats on this.
Yeah, yeah. Derrick Henry, great run. Yeah, like this is great too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I know you got a show and stuff, so
I appreciate having me, guys.
And yeah, I'm stoked, man.
When
like
when
this
is air?
This will air.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we changed our...
Come see me in Omaha, Nebraska. I think we're almost sold out, though. Omaha, Nebraska, March 11, 12, 13. And then I'll be in Huntsville, Alabama, an hour and a half away from here. March 25, 26, 27, I think.
You might hit some Nebraska people since, you know, Cornhuskers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So really? People hearing this will probably...
All right. So you guys come out, Omaha, and then I'll be in... It's limited capacity. It sucks, but I think...
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think there's some tickets left. And then Huntsville, Alabama. Liberty Live.
Where are you performing at in Omaha?
Stand Up Live. What's that?
Where are you at in Omaha?
Funny Bone.
Okay.
Funny Bone.
I watched, what arena was that? I watched Tosh.
Oh, he's so funny.
When he was like in his...
God damn, he's funny.
In the game. It doesn't seem like he does a whole lot as much
now.
He
got so rich, but Daniel Tosh...
he was a whole fucking hilarious,
there are
bro.
Two people I've come up to as a comic, and some people say I do okay, right? Pretty funny, okay, but I've been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
And it's, so you're not going to impress
meet them all halfway.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I meet you halfway. Yeah, yeah, comedy wise, keep you busy.
Yeah. Keep you busy.
You understand?
Yeah.
You remember me.
Yeah.
Right? There's nobody I'm going to be nervous about following, right?
Right.
But Daniel Tosh and Cat Williams were two people I walked up to, and I didn't know Daniel. And I went, you might be the best comic in the world. And he goes, it's not true. I go, no, it is true. And I know the difference. He goes, no, it's really not true, but I appreciate that. I go, no, you're amazing. Like, and I was well established. This was like 6 years ago or 7 years ago. I was like pretty well established. And I'm like, no, you're amazing and you're the best. You know? He's like, no, that's really not true. You know, he's such a misanthrope. He could care less, but he's awesome. And then, and I said the same thing to Cat Williams. I didn't know him, but I watched him and I went, well, you're incredible.
Yeah.
Again, he might have known who I was. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. I was like, well, you're amazing.
Yeah.
You're better than me.
Yeah.
Which I never say.
Yeah.
And I still don't believe it.
Yeah. Daniel, do you guys know who Daniel Tosh is? So I just never know the difference. You know what I mean? In age.
I'm like 3 years younger than you.
Yeah, but
oh,
you're 31, bro. I'm the guy who's old. I'm so old. We had rotary phones for real. Rotary phones. Like I remember when the internet was like, when Gmail was like, what is that? I remember when Rogan was the first person to ever be on the internet, and he showed me a video of a Japanese guy shitting into another guy's mouth. I said it.
Oh.
And he was throwing up going, wait, look, and he put it and he goes, just watch. And I'm like, what am I watching? And he's like, and he's hiding behind.
Wasn't that just like webcams and shit then?
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. But he had a huge computer room and I was like, oh, so that's how old I am.
He's like, this is going to be the thing. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't know what the internet is.
Yeah.
I didn't even have a fucking computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there it is.
Well, I appreciate you, bro.
Thank you.
This was fucking awesome.
You're a good man.
Yeah. You are too, bro. Let's get a photo.
Guys, gals. People of all ages, appreciate you so much for tuning in to another episode of Bussin' with the Boys. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever platform you're on. We're on there. We have a YouTube channel, Bussin' with the Boys. We would love if you subscribe there as well. If you are subscribed and you want to be more for the boys, unsubscribe and resubscribe again. It sounds funny and stupid and kind of obnoxious, but all of your subscriptions and resubscribing and stuff, it helps in these little algorithm games for climbing charts, because again, we are very organic. You guys, where we're at is because of you guys. So we like to keep it fucking organic and just from us, dude. Us versus the world. But we really do. We really appreciate your guys' support. A few of you had questions about merchandise. You can go. Our merchandise store is on barstoolsports.com. Go over to shop, and we are under the brand Bustin' with the Boys. You can find all of our gear there. We restock constantly now. If you guys have any ideas, shout us out. If you guys buy the gear, shout us out. We really do love when you guys talk back to us, add us, mention us, put us on your stories, tag us, all that fun stuff. We like grabbing that stuff and putting it on our YouTube episodes. And again, we just love it, man. We love you guys. We appreciate you so much. Keep being for the fucking boys. Keep being a wolf. The biggest of hugs and the tiniest of kisses. We love you. We appreciate you. Tune in next week for another episode of Bustin' with the Boys.